All right, everyone, welcome to episode 10 of Uncovering Satanism. In the past 9 episodes, we have gone through the history of Satanism, the rise of Satanism, how the Satanic Panic, how that has inflicted pain and misery upon thousands of children and families, modern-day Satanic views of how culture has been seeping in, and the Satanic culture has been seeping into our modern-day Christian culture, the Eastern perspective of Satanism about how gurus and yoga and stuff all brought about Satanism way before Anton LaVey even got to it. And the Christian and how the Satanic culture has influenced Christianity itself. Christianity that doesn't have its roots on the Word of God. In today's episode, we have a guest appearance by Stefan, who is a victim of the Satanic cult. And he has been part of a Satanic server, and he has witnessed many gruesome and horrible things there. And he is going to be taking this. We are going to be using this episode to go ahead and discuss about what he has experienced and highlight how youth are being affected by this Satanic cult. Today with me, I have Stefan, of course, like I mentioned, and Dave C.
Hello.
So. All right, so let's think through this for a second. All this previous episodes, 9 episodes, this is where we're currently on the last episode. And honestly, this has been a wild ride, especially with Dave and most of them. So, Stefan, I'm going to... So how we're going to do the format for this, since this is more like a sit-down kind of interview thing... is, Stefan, I'm going to be asking you a question or two, and then we're going to have a bit of discussion viewing this, taking a step back, viewing this, breaking this down. And we're going to be going ahead and asking more questions and then having a discussion like that. We're going to be doing the whole thing. All right, so yeah, let's get started. Let's get started. Okay, let me make sure your wild emails are good. Okay, excellent. So, Stefan... could you tell us at what period, what made, can you tell us a bit about the, what you believe is Satanism itself? Because I want to get your idea here on what Satanism is itself.
Well, I mean, Satanism is, at the end of the day, worship of Satan, you know, but since I guess Satan... doesn't necessarily mean like Satan the devil. I guess Satanism covers a lot of, you know, popular religions like paganism, New Age, and all of that. Since Satan doesn't necessarily mean the devil, it also means the enemy. So I would consider religions like, you know, New Age, paganism, I would consider them Satanism, you know.
All right. So from our previous episodes, we have discussed how Satanism really is not just devil worship, as most consider it to be. It is also the culture itself is very bad. It's not just about the modern day Satanic aspect of things, which is, you know, the ideology of loving yourself and no religious foundation or anything or no moral laws or ethics should stop you from doing what you want and what you want to pursue itself. Mm-hmm. And that is something we can see so many of young children, whether you're religious, whether you're born in a religious background, whether you're Christian itself, you know, there are many Christians who are not grounded in the Word of God enough to be able to distinguish these things enough and to stay away from it. So, Stefan, could you tell us a bit of your journey as a Satanist? What made you, what got you into Satanism? What got you thinking in that angle? And how did you end up in that Satanic server?
Well, I mean, you know, Satan is generally target, and mainly religions like this, you know, they usually target the younger audience, which generally doesn't know any better, you know, because what is a, I don't know, 12-year-old, 13-year-old going to know about debunking them, you know? And so on the surface, all that sounds nice, like, oh, you get, you know, there are things like guardians or whatever, and you get magic and all that, and it sounds really, you know, it sounds really fun and wonderful on the surface, if you know what I'm saying. But when you get down to it and you actually sit down and study, you see that there are a lot of things behind this. It's not just fun and games, you know?
Amen. Yep.
Amen. I mean, in reality, like, that is what that is really what Satanism is. It's there to draw people in. It's really there to make it seem like it's fun and games. We discussed this in the episode. Which episode was
it? You can go ahead and do whatever you want, because there's no God or whatever. Mm-hmm. And even those that are theistic, you know, they believe like, oh, that's just a bunch of crap. You know, it doesn't make any sense. And all that, you can do whatever you want. So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, personally, yeah, that is true, because mostly how this is covered is it's more fun in games, you know, there's no one to stop you, you know, you're at that age where you're like, you think like, oh no, like, you know, nothing's really bad is going to come out of this, you know, this looks fun and good stuff and things, but in reality, it's more damaging than fun, because it affects the mind, it affects your thought processes, how you view things. For example, or before you go ahead, there's many studies that show that when you go ahead and play a lot of violent games, for example, Call of Duty and stuff, there are a lot of people that are younger than 12 who played Call of Duty. There was a study that showed 66% of those children ended up becoming stiff to emotion, meaning when someone died, or if they heard that someone like, you know, was shot or brutally murdered, they would just be stiff, like they'd be like, okay, they just died, like, big deal. Like, it brings you stiff to emotion, and that's dangerous, because emotions is part of the cycle, the natural cycle. So whether it be video games, or it be movies, whether it be what the culture is trying to put on with this dark deepness we can see here, It's really negative. It's really negative, and it's something that especially Christians, because our target audience here are Satanists, Christians, and people who are not affiliated with any religious groups. That those are our three target audiences, and especially for Christians, something that upsets me a lot is the fact that you're trying to blend the two. You're trying to blend the darkness and the Word of God together. Which is very dangerous, in fact, because, again, it messes with the mind. It messes with moral laws, moral ethics. It messes the true balance of life and the true balance of the mind, the emotional balance. There's a lot of things that messes up your mind. So go ahead. I don't want to, you know, ramble too much. I'm going to let Stefan do most of the talking. But, yeah, because we're here to show, like, you know, talk with him and, you know, discuss throughout his experiences. So, Stefan, what... could you tell us, like, once you got in that server, essentially, what did you see? What was the atmosphere then? What was the atmosphere? The kind of people that you talked to? What was their tone? What was their attitude? What was the kind of vibes you were essentially getting once you got in there? At first, when you joined, what was the kind of atmosphere you were getting? And could you take us a bit more detailed ride, as, like, you know, because we're trying to convey, like, how truly this is, like, what is going on behind the scenes. So could you please tell us?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, there were, you know, really desensitized to all these things. For example, they were really desensitized to, I don't want to say necessarily murder or whatever, or killing others, but they were really desensitized to concepts like sin, or no, committing immoralities like that. And they were also, you know, kind of... they're also the people that, you know, break, that go out. For example, I remember there were a few people actually that their goal was to, you know, break others' marriages. I don't know why they got injured and all that, but that was basically their goal. And so, yeah, people try to be friendly, you know, on the surface, but when you really look and see who they are and what they're trying to do, like when you sit down and analyze it, is there more kind of like predatory rather than friendly, if you know what I'm saying? Oh, I guess that's how I would describe it. And there are also, like I said, a lot of other young people in there, and at least some of them tried to, you know, abuse those young people, because now they're young, so what do you know? And there was actually one guy who was, I think, 12 or 13, or I don't really remember his age real that well, but the point is he was predated for nudes, and eventually, you know, they got you know, some nudes with him and all that, and they're also, you know, trying to take down certain Christian YouTube channels and other Christian servers, you know. And so basically, I guess that's how I describe it, their behavior when very cold towards Christians, and when in regards to children and stuff like that, they were very, most of them at least, because there were some of them that didn't want to cross that line, but most of them were very predative towards children.
Yeah.
Brother Dave, what's your thoughts on all this?
I grew up in Albany, Oregon, and kind of a circle of, I was always kind of outside the circle, but I knew that it had a lot in my day and age, at least, to do with like really heavy rock music, like Venom and Slayer. And it's like you'd almost know the crowd and the Satanist type leaning people by what music they'd listen to. And I remember once having like somebody like plot to kill me, basically, and in some way, and they had this elaborate plan where they were just kind of like going to like extort me for money, and like this crazy story. So I was around kind of a weird crowd, and I remember like, yeah, cold, and they could kind of turn on people, and I was in that crowd more to like get access to alcohol and just like the fun crowd. And I'd listen to some heavy music, not quite anything like Slayer, but go to concerts and kind of like when I was falling away a little bit for a while, I guess. And I just remember that was one thing that brought me back to the Lord too, was you started to see a coldness in even when like a person would pass away. And yeah, just like bad vibes I've always been very pro-Christian, so I didn't get anti-Christian, but I was definitely kind of outcast in that crowd a little bit because of that. And it is almost like there was always something I didn't quite, was always going on that was really dark, and they just kind of didn't let me in for the better. But yeah, just like predatoring on homeless people and just like some really dark stuff going on, I know, and like was going on. And back then they had meth was a problem. Like nowadays it's decriminalized here, like they act like it's no big deal, but I like know all this crazy horrible things that happened around meth and Satanism, and yeah, like a lot of it to do with rock music and really heavy horror movies. Kind of, some are even hard to get your hands on, kind of foreign And yeah, a lot of Vertigo comic books. I got into comic books, and that kind of like was closest I got to learning a lot about Satanism type thinking was DC Comic Books offshoot called Vertigo, and they had like Sandman, I think, was one, and Constantine. And they just had really heavy. Before I knew it, I was kind of getting indoctrinated and knowing a lot about that kind of stuff through that. And I always knew to stay away, so I kind of, in my getting close to the Lord, it was something I knew I had to get rid of, and it just happened kind of naturally, but it still comes back. Like, I'll still get, I used to have a lot of fun playing role-playing games for the Super Nintendo, and I just have really nostalgic feelings about sin, basically, or like really, I played some kind of heavy violent games like Grand Theft Auto or Manhunt or some of those Rockstar ones. And it just kind of like a nostalgic to sin, even though I know it's wrong, and praise the Lord, I don't. But yeah, there's still a struggle. So it's once that kind of gets a hold of you, like maybe the Lord can deliver you 100%, I believe. And I'm praying a lot, and I just get rid of that kind of stuff. But yeah, it is, it sticks around, and it's like once you open the door, it's always kind of, I don't know, in my experience, it's always kind of there a little bit, and it's almost like an alcoholic, you know, or I don't really believe in alcoholic per se, but it's like if once you get that taste or whatever, like it's always kind of nagging or whatever. So yeah, it is part of my testimony to have like, ooh, yeah. You get some spiritual kickback when you try and stop. Amen. But the Lord has always been there for me. But yeah, it is funny though. Yeah, it is kind of like a little traumatic to even think about. But yeah, the devil, man, once you let him around you or whatever, you start, praise the Lord, come back to the Lord, you'll like always know, like, you got to stay a mile away, man. Because you can slip pretty quickly, and yeah, your marriage or it can slip or whatever, you know, and give your kids a bad influence or just so many ways. It's really got to focus on the Lord. Amen.
Amen. Well, all right. Well, yes, this is just quite, like, I can't even say, like, quite disturbing. This is excruciating to be hear this. And you know, most people, you know, even many churches, they teach you about, like, you know, the ignorance of sin and thing, which we'll get into another podcast, not in this series, but we'll do this in another episode, in an episode in another series, so stay tuned for that. But pretty much just this whole indoctrination of including, I'm talking about the Christian perspective here, about including, like, you know, these kind of, like, I can't say satanic rituals, because, you know, people are trying to exclude the rituals, but hold on close to the ideologies, which is where the real meat is at, the ideologies. And, you know, Satan from the beginning of time has always been very subtle with his mannerisms, which we can see even going on today, ever since the beginning, even going on today. And it's come to the point where it's not even unsubtle, you know. A friend of mine shared a video with me, a TikTok video, on her Instagram story, and she shared it to me through the DM. And I was quite surprised. Now the new trend, it's like number two on trending on TikTok. It's, what do you do? I don't think I can fit this in frame here. How can I do this? Like you take your hands like this. You take your hands like this. And then it's like a smudge, so you smudge it like this, bring it together, and when you do like this, it smudges over your face. So what you're actually creating is like this kind of satanic, like for satanic rituals, they have these kinds of masks, and there's this one mask of a moose, where it's like like a moose antler, and then there's like this nice shape over your face. So when you smudge it like that, it gives it like that nice brown texture to replicate that kind of satanic mask. And that's number two on trending. So this kind of satanic stuff is not even subtle anymore. It's right in your face. It's considered the new cool thing. It's like if you're not part, it's like now, like how you say low gang or the Paulers, like now it's like the Satan gang, like, you know, hashtag Satan gang. Like, you know, if you're not part of the Satan gang, you're nothing. You need to get stoned, or you need to get, you know, you just need to get dumped or something. Like, you're worthless if you're not part of the Satan gang. It's not even like those kids in the shady corner over there in the alley. Don't go play with them. No, this is like public schools, churches, in the middle of the street. It's in the light that we're doing this, and now we're having laws that are starting to come out, and it's starting to support these kinds of ideologies. The Hill, the article from Hill. There was an article that The Hill, which is a newspaper article, they did this article. The Senate did a satanic prayer where they did a Hail Satan, the Senate. Several senators did walk out, but the majority did remain for the prayer prompt, as a prayer prompt was handed out and people started chanting the satanic prayer in the Senate. This is very disturbing. This shows that this was once a Christian country. Even though this is a land of immigrants, it shows how we are losing our Christian doctrine. It is showing how many people are losing their true roots, and it's just now starting to get watered down. The newer generation, they're not all of, I'm not going to say all of them are not hearing the truth. The many churches are there. Even if your church is, like, has good doctrine, there's so many online preachers, so many televised tele-evangelists, that's the right word, tele-evangelists, Christian pop stars that give out these indoctrinated ideologies and influencing minds, and they carry these ideologies into the church. And then the church, and if the church doesn't accept these ideologies, then they're going to end up leaving the church, so it's bad for the church, so the church automatically starts accepting the ideologies. Whether it be small, if it's too big, sometimes it won't, but most of it is subtle. Over time, gradual changes until there's a whole change overall. And it's quite disturbing. It truly terrifies me of how things are going. There's very few youth. You know, even in my own server, I have more Christians that hate me than regular people that hate me. because I keep telling them, like, look, this is not the truth, true word of God. This is not what God has said. This is watered down truth. They're like, oh no, you're being close-minded. Like, you know, I don't want to call anyone out in the series. I've already said this from day one of this, ever since the first episode has released. The purpose of this is to show people that Satan is not just a myth. Hell is not a myth. Like, even in the Satanic Bible, it says in book 6, point 3, I believe, where it says, there is no heaven or hell, there is no redeemer. All you have is earth to live in and enjoy the life. You're wrong, because everybody fears death. My friend Luke, answers.luke, make sure to follow him on Instagram. My friend Luke, what he did was, he went ahead and he made this latest video, and in it he talked about how everyone is scared of death, how everyone anticipates death at one point in life, whether you're young, whether you get sick, whether you get COVID, whether you are got cancer. Like, you know, when you hear the words you got cancer, the first thing that goes to your head is, when am I going to die? And then what's going to end up happening to my loved ones or family? And everyone has in their head, everyone knows and everyone fears death, unless, of course, you're highly intoxicated and you're absolutely on edge, living the edgy lifestyle, which is also something that's very common in today's culture. And he went on to explain that most people in our society are taught that we only have one death and that we are to live the life, living the life. But then he goes on to explain how there is not one death, but there is a second death. And he goes on to explain salvation story about how, essentially, Jesus died so that you wouldn't have to experience the second death. Where when you died once, your soul, if you became saved after the first death, you would go to heaven and you would live eternity in peace and love and joy and happiness. Whereas if you did not get saved and you lived like how it says in the Satanic Bible, like an animal roaming the earth doing whatever you want, and not believing in Jesus, you end up going and experiencing the second death, which is not a temporary death, but it is an eternal death, suffering. And even in the Bible, there are terms that are so horrific that I cannot repeat them in this episode. It's that bad, where you got things crawling all over you, and you got fire always burning on your body 24/7, but the only thing is there's no 24 hours or 7 days. It's eternity, forever, infinite loop. You can't do anything to reverse it, which is why the short period of time is here on earth is to become saved, and he goes on to explain that, which is why I myself like this guy, Luke. He's a very good guy. He's very on point. He's very firm with his doctrine. He doesn't cut short of anything. He doesn't cut short. And it's very rare to see these kinds of people like that. It's very rare. Mostly you hear people that go ahead, take the Bible stories of things, and then they go ahead and say, oh, you know, God says, you know, to love everyone, hence I'm going to be homosexual, and the Bible supports homosexuality. Look at Joseph. Joseph got blessings. You know, you just become a Christian, you'll have blessings. You don't have to fear anything. Like that. You get this false sense of security. But the thing is, you're feeling safe in what you're receiving. You're feeling safe because you feel that you are going to receive blessings for becoming a Christian. It's like an achievement. A GG, you just became a Christian. You have advanced to blessings. like in reality, that is the false sense, that is the false ideology that is being spread about. But and then when some trials or tribulations comes, something small, it comes, oh, God said he would give me blessings. What kind of God is this? This is a hypocritical God. And then they go on blaming God when the people twisted the truth that God said. And then they just go away, and you lose a soul And there's a lot of mixing. There's a lot of indoctrination. I can't stop saying how much indoctrination there is. It's something that burdens me. I am more burdened by the fact that there's more indoctrination in this world than there are lost souls. That's something that burdens me a lot. So, Stefan, I know, I'm just... I'm just going on, you know, I'm just speaking my heart out, so I tend to ramble a bit when I speak my heart out. But yes, so could you tell me, like, you know, more about, like, what was going through your mind? Like, you told us about the atmosphere that was given out when you were in this this satanic server, but could you tell about what was going through your mind, about how, like, things were changing, like what the emotions you were feeling from people? Were you feeling satisfied? Were you feeling creeped out? Were you feeling like, eh, I guess this is part of life, so I might as well deal with it? What was your kind of reaction / emotional cycle as you were in this server?
Yeah, like I said, people were, they had a pervasive tendency, even though at the beginning they acted, you know, like your friends or whatever. So, for me, I felt, you know, I was okay with it, even though I was thinking, eh, it's weird that that guy is acting strange, you know, or someone else is acting strange. So, but aside from that, you know, I just thought, oh, it's, you know, because I didn't realize how serious all of this is, because obviously you're not going to, when you're deceived, you're not going to be told you're being deceived. So I was like, oh, this is, you know, this magic is cool, it's games, it's fun, even though, you know, I didn't know what I was getting into. But yeah, there were also, you know, people who, they had, like I said, they were weird, you know, very subtly, but they were also very open about it. Like, I don't know, like someone who's, I don't know, like gay or whatever would post, news of them or whatever, and for everyone to see there, or like I said, had a few children were sexually abused, they would post nudes on there when asked or whatever. So, and like I said, what was going through my head was, oh, his magic, it's games, it's fun, it's interesting, I'm learning a lot of cool stuff. But I was also thinking, there's a lot of sketchy stuff here, but like I said, I guess this is part of life, and I might as well deal with it. But there was also, you know, a voice in the back of my head saying, you need to get out. And what made me get out was that one day, so I'm not sure if this is real or not, because I didn't check and I don't want to know. I hope it's not, but one day there were two people talking, you know, in general chat. And basically what they did is they joined voice chat for a ritual or whatever. And one of them said that they would sacrifice their sibling. And so when I saw that, I was like, bro, I'm getting out of here. So I just left the server. But that's basically it. I'm sure that if I stayed a little bit longer, I would have had a bit more stuff to say. But yeah, that's basically all there was to it.
Ay, this is Dave. I can see through your eyes. You're thinking something.
Oh, me. Oh, yeah. Just like I can relate with a lot of. Bad stuff would go down. That's all that I remember. And nowadays, to this day, it really grieves me to see how the young people are the ones who are really getting it under attack. Yeah, like Netflix and all the just every single thing. Like, I can't even watch Nickelodeon. Like, I was watching it with my little buddy babysit and like watch Nickelodeon. It's not the same anymore. And like, everything is indoctrinating and like, Oprah's making kids movies where she's like a witch, and it's just, and I start to even look back on like old Disney movies and somehow they're all about witchcraft, and basically it's like, link it back to like, luckily it took me a while to realize that it's so much entertainment I just have to get out of my life. And like, as soon as I was over that shock and it started to happen and stuff, I got a push back from the enemy, but like, it's always good news when I do. And like, but it is a struggle. It's strange. It's almost like drugs or something, like heavy rock music or like Insane Clown Posse, weird type rap, or it's they're like, they say wicked or whatever. The wicked is basically exactly, but it's like, it energizes you in a way that's not godly. I know that much. And it's just, can be enhanced by drugs. And like, I flipped through a few magic books I saw sitting at people's houses, like just kind of like, and it seemed almost like it was written very much almost like I thought it would be more freaky or something, but maybe this was like an everyday modern version of Satanism. It was like very matter of fact, everything was laid out. That was even kind of, so yeah, it's definitely very pervasive, I'll put it that way. And like, I never wanted to open up myself to that because I'm already damaged enough from having listened to a lot of rock music and a lot of like violent, like Doom and Quake, I guess, were like the kind of games back in the day. And nowadays I saw the new Mortal Kombat and it was just like so bad. I'm like, man, I've been out of the loop or something. It's like, I guess like I'm kind of old now, and like the shock of it was, I grew up pre-internet almost, I guess is what it is or something. But yeah, like it was less easier to shock people. And it's like how quickly things have eroded is real fast. And it freaked me out that here in Oregon, they decriminalized hard drugs. And like, I've always had struggled with not doing drugs and being kind of an outcast, because I guess everywhere I came from was like a bunch of druggies or something. It seemed like I was always having to like turn it down, or always the weird odd man out because I wouldn't do cocaine or just crazy stuff. But now with them decriminalizing it, I almost feels like a slap in my face, because of like my brother had a drug problem, and like I've seen what it does to people. And it's, so I just feel like I'm real riled up, man. I'm praying, and really the Lord's bringing a lot up for me to like pray about. And like, yeah, spiritual pushback sometimes is like just almost grieving for how bad it's gotten. I can read the newspaper, and I can almost guarantee it's just a bogus, and it's going to make me mad. And like, I'm not really on board with how quick the government suddenly thinks they can tell everybody what to do to like a scary degree, and like shutting down churches. And it's just, it can get a bit overwhelming, but like I'm getting back to the basics of I'm born again, I trust the Lord, and I'm reading like Ephesians, like about getting right with the Lord and then applying the armor. And like, and yeah, man, it's like sometimes that kind of stuff happens like in my sleep or whatever, like spiritual warfare in my sleep. So I listen to the Bible or like pray, or I'm kind of used to it by now, but a lot of spiritual stuff happens in my sleep, the more pushback against the enemy or like, but yeah, it takes its toll, but like only kind of sometimes when I think about it. And usually it's just, I'm used to it almost. It's so sad, but like the Lord has definitely put on my heart and like become more of a warrior for God. And a lot about abortion too, and standing up for babies. And yeah, I feel like, whew, yeah, it gets me going a little bit talking about it even. But yeah, praise the Lord, man. He's always there, and he's brought me out of a lot. And even when it seems dark, I always know that he's there. And yeah, I've seen him at work, miracles. Amen.
Amen. All right, so now that we've analyzed that completely, let's view this from the Christian perspective for a bit. So, Stefan, during this period when you got into Satanism, how would you say your Christian maturity level was? Like, how much of a Christian were you in reality?
I mean, I was very lukewarm, you know, because I was, back then, I was unorthodox. So already right off the bat, even if I would have been serious, there were all these fake doctrines that were coming with it. And even without it, I was very lukewarm. Like, I have had an experience with Jesus, and so that's why I could never really leave Christianity, because I knew it wasn't, you know, garbage, and I knew it wasn't bogus, even though at the time I didn't really know how to explain certain things that were happening. But yeah, I would definitely describe myself as lukewarm. Like, I knew all these things were real, but I don't know, really, I didn't really care for them that much. Like, I mean, if you were to bring them up, I'd be like, oh yeah, Jesus and all that. But personally, in my own life, I didn't really give a crap about it.
Like, one story that kind of comes to mind about, there was a guy named Boo, and he was a big Native American gentleman. I shouldn't say gentleman by any means, but and I remember a guy that I knew shot himself at the park, which is messed up in itself. And then this guy was just like talking to the guy as he was dying, just like saying in his words, like, what a retard he was, and like, look at what you've done to yourself, and just like, And I just remember, like, really, like, hardcore stories like that from, like, the people who were really cold like that. It was like they'd almost laugh being called a Satanist, but they were just like, I guess, just like wicked people. And I just knew, yeah, somehow it all was to do with like music. Like they worshipped, like, hating God, I guess, basically is what it came down to. And like they were groupies of bands like Cradle of Filth and like, yeah, just the hardcore music. And I remember that. Just like to always watch out around those guys. And one time, yeah, one of them even there was even kind of like on the sidelines of being like that. Like I said, tried to set me up and like rob me and just crazy stuff. And my friend years later told me that he kind of knew about it and he hadn't told me. And it's like, yeah, when you're hanging around people that aren't Christians, like he would even probably claim that he was. But yeah, it's just like the moral compass is like broken. And I always had one and I like didn't fit. And somehow I would become like the target almost if they could. And like, so yeah, praise the Lord, I'm not really in that kind of stuff anymore. And like, but unfortunately I'm divorced, but I was married for like 11 years. And that was one thing my wife kind of came into our marriage and like with the struggle with a lot was majorly addicted to horror movies, just like whole like the, and I pray for her that it happened, but it kind of brought it up again and like the horror movie thing in my life. And like, it's weird how that stuff can affect you years later and like create cracks in my marriage. And like, I wasn't living like I should. And, nowadays people see marriage as divorce is the easy way out. And that's kind of what happened. Long story short, she's kind of got advice, like move on if stuff isn't working out. So, it just can really get into a person, man. And before you know it, it's like you used to be a Christian, but all of a sudden you're doing so many things that it's like you're almost fooling yourself. Not in the way where you've lost your salvation, but it's like you just fooling yourself in like living in. And indulging in sin is becoming like a lifestyle. And before you know it, it's like the old saying AA or whatever, it's like the sin, you spend more than you want and it keeps you longer than you want to be there, it type thing. And like sin is, it always made sense to me, and they call it a vice because it's true. It just gets you. And before you know it, like you're hiding and doing the sin, or it just like progressive worse and worse, like trying to hide drinking at work or something, or like, and it's just, it all goes back into if you're not getting healed on like almost all levels by the Lord and walking circumspectly, it's like the devil's going to find something. And, and it's good. And just pray to the Lord and he'll give you courage and tell you what that is and just get out of your life and repent and, believe on the Lord. And a person's never going to be without temptation, and you just have to learn, even if it's suffering or whatever, it'll get less and less. And as you resist the devil, he'll flee from you. And even to do with that sleeping and stuff, like it's almost when I'm more doing what I should and really on it and sleeping enough, not exhausting my body and keeping like I'm my caregiver for my mom, like not losing my temper or whatever, like I can like slip in a lot of ways, and before I know it, like it gets worse and worse. So that's my advice, is like nobody's perfect per se, but like if you keep on working on it, like the Lord is going to honor that, and the devil will flee from you, and you'll get wiser. And you'll be able to help other people. And you'll get more discernment for when you're supposed to do certain things. Even so you won't get hurt. Like out in the world trying to help everybody every moment, can sometimes, maybe the Lord will tell you, just pray for them and like don't go around them or something at the moment. Like you really have to be tuned in. And I'm kind of speaking on like doing like homeless outreach and going kind of dangerous places. And it breaks my heart because around here a homeless man froze on the street like just the other night, and like I'm kind of bummed, and like just feel like people need to really get their priorities straight and like care for children and the elderly. And like, yeah, that got me going, man. It's like we have failed like vulnerable people, and like I feel like it's getting better, but at the same time it's like more homeless and more homeless. It's the Lord is really bringing up people to help, praise the Lord. And like, and it's real battle out there on the street, man, and battle everywhere. For the devil wants your time, he wants everything, but for you to read your Bible, and it's just like you focus on the Lord and pretty soon you don't even think about the enemy, and it just like it fades away. And that's how I feel. And then you don't have to be ever scared of the devil. You just keep pure. And when you do something wrong, or, you know, just like always keep on trudging forward, you know, like always back to the Lord on the right path. Amen.
Amen. Well, I mean, this is just quite a testimony, and we can see here, let's just take a moment to truly understand what's going on here, to take a true analysis of what's going on here. Stefan, when he was a young man, he is a young man, but when he was young, I just made you sound old, man, I'm sorry. Yeah, but when he was younger, he was more lukewarm, as he stated. And when he was lukewarm, what happened was, even though he knew the truth, he denied it. He didn't follow through with it. And hence, what that happened was, it made him susceptible to the culture that embraced what you want to listen to, what you want to hear, what you want, and that's the thing with Christianity that I see most people, even in Paul's time. You know, I like Paul a lot because he and I can relate, especially the times that he lived in and the times we're living in now is very similar. Close-mindedness is at its height now, even as it was back then. And the same thing here with the Christian perspective here, because Stefan was a Christian even when he was a Satanist, is the ideology given today is, look, like, you can go ahead and do what you want, and you can just have Jesus as long as you go to church, and, you know, you just be a good boy in church, and do church things, be a good boy in Sunday school, and, don't give too much heartache for your parents, and, you know, you go follow through this sense of, this kind of rituals as such. Then you follow through all these rituals, but then you lose the relationship or the connectivity with the person that you're trying to do all this for, which is God himself. And what happens here is there's that gap. Now, Satan likes to slither into those gaps and likes to make those gaps very farther from the person and God. So that's what happens, especially in the case of a lukewarm Christian. There's the distance, there's the gap between God and the Christian. Now, that's why it's very important, no matter how well-learned you are, to keep maintaining the relationship with God. Because once you let go just a bit, just this much of a gap is needed just for Satan to slide in and start cranking it open and cranking more and more open with more and more distractions, more and more temptations, and to pretty much get in the way of things, mess up your emotional state, your spiritual state. But when you when you develop more on the Word of God, when you read more of the Word of God, you develop yourself maturely. That is the sense of spiritual maturity, because when you are a Christian, this is God, this is you. You're level zero, God is like level 1,000,000. Now, as you go up and up and up and up and up, that means you have to keep building up that relationship with God, meditating on his word, doing things with God. And then you keep going up and up and up. But then if you stop doing or you miss a couple of days, you know, it's going to stay there. and then you know your own emotional thing, your own moral judgment that might not be so good might start seeping in with the advice instead of godly wisdom. You start making wrong choices. It starts going down. There's a bigger gap and a bigger gap and a bigger gap. And then finally, you're at like level negative 100, like even worse than where you were starting as a Christian. But then God's like, hey, look, I'll forgive you. And then you get another chance. You keep going. And then we're just in this, like, you know, we're still, no one's, like, for you to become, like, no gap, it's practically impossible. Because that means you'll be holy. When you're sinning, there's always going to be some form of gap. But the stronger the relationship, the less harder it is for Satan to slide in into the gap to crank it. That's the goal. Don't let Satan slide into the crack and crank it open. Keep the bond tighter. And the only way to do that is with maintaining the relationship. It's not starting a relationship with God, but it's maintaining it. That's what's important. You start the relationship when you become a Christian. It doesn't end there. It doesn't end when you go to church. Like, oh, sure, I'm a Christian. I go to church. I be part of the youth choir. I do all these things. But it's important that the relationship is a high priority. Even if you don't go to church that much, it is a commandment that you go ahead and be in fellowship with the members of the assembly. It is important that you worship God, because as I said, two or three gather in my name, I am in their midst. God did not mean for online churches to be the number one priority. It's because of the circumstance we're living in right now with COVID-19 around us, which is why churches are shut down. But once they're open, we should keep ourselves, we should make ourselves go to church and, you know, worship God, because we're not there because of the atmosphere or anything. It's because of worshiping God itself. And from here, so Stefan, what would be, how would you say that as you got out of that, satanic server, how would you say that your spiritual maturity, did it grow? Did it lessen? Was it the same? How would you, could you explain how your spiritual walk with God was after you left?
Yeah, I mean, at the beginning, I was just like wavering. I didn't really know what to do. I just took it, you know, easy. I didn't really think about it. But I was like, I'm not remaining with people like this. So eventually I just thought, well, let's go ahead and troll some Christians. And so I joined this server called, I don't know if it's, I can plug it here, but it's called The Truth Shall Make You Free. And so I joined that server, and I was like, it was a really, you know, glad coincidence that, you know, the Lord led me there. Because there were a lot of true Christians there, and even the owner. And so I thought, like, you know, at the beginning, I felt like these guys are insane. So I'm just going to troll them and then get banned. And like right before I did that, there was this guy that invited me into voice chat. And he invited me and told me his testimony. And, you know, he cried in voice chat when he told me his testimony. And I was like, oh, man, these people are even more insane than I thought. And so I was like, okay, well, if they are that insane, I better, you know, stick around and get a laugh out of them. And, you know, with time, I learned and mature spiritually, and I guess here I am now. I think almost a year ago this happened, and it's, you know, it's a really hilarious story if you ask me. But I would definitely say that I wasn't really mature for a while. I think until, you know, this spring or summer when I got baptized.
Wow, that is, Brother Dave, anything you'd like to add in there?
Praise the Lord, man, that's awesome. And baptized too, amen.
Amen.
And, like when I was a kid, it was, ICQ, and I remember that was like the like super old chat, and my friend would go on there and like that was kind of like he was into that kind of stuff. And yeah, anyway, so it's been going on for a long time, and yeah, it was always about a lot of mayhem. I know that, like, I didn't get too much into it, but they're sharing all kinds of crazy, like, anyway, back then it was just like the Jolly Roger cookbook or just crazy. They were into like some crazy stuff, but yeah, it was always very anti-Christian. I know that much, man. And like, man, that's a long time ago, but yeah, my friend wore like contacts and like, it's something about kind of like, at least for the young people, it really gives them like, a lot of them have trouble at home and stuff, and it's kind of like an identity. And a lot of it has to do, like, I can't stress it enough, but at least when I was growing up, a lot of it had to do with the music. It's the Satanism connection for sure. And like Marilyn Manson and Nine Inch Nails and all the grunge. And like even all the way back from the Doors and just somehow like all the music was just permeated with the devil, man. Like it creeps me out to the extent. Yeah. And a lot of it has to do now with these streaming services. I really have a bone to pick with them because like basically nothing they put out is positive. I feel like almost they're like the sewage, like the sewage networks. I was watching Netflix way back when they started, right after they used to have to actually pay and they'd send you the movies through the mail. And then they went to the streaming service. They had nothing like they are like at one point they morphed into like just pure Satanism, like everything they produce, everything they do. And I feel that same way about Amazon. Yeah, anyway, it seems like they're popping up everywhere. And a lot of it has to do with old graphic novels I used to read. They're like putting on film and like every single one of them is really corrupt. And it like a lot of the concepts you just kind of can't get out of your head. That's for sure. And just weird. Yeah, like Neil Gaiman, I guess, is one of those ones. And a lot of really deep, like Clive Barker and a lot of I used to read like Stephen King. And like they just have really deep, weird concepts of like evil and stuff. Like I really have to repent and like get that out of my head. And that's why, like I always tell people too, man, like, try not to even give that stuff away. Just like burn it. That's what some people from my church helped me do. And it was really a blessing, was like, we burned a lot of my stuff. And that was like a big burden. Cause I had a bunch of comic books that I shouldn't have had. And it was like making a move for the Lord. And at that time in my life, like the Lord really blessed me and it gave me more courage. And like, I never knew that I could do something like that. Like it was killing me, but like, the very base of what I got rid of was totally corrupt and like either had to do with like vengeance or violence or magic or yeah. So it was just, and then like when you start to get that stuff back in your life, it's like I said, like the person who takes a drink again or something, you really got to like sit yourself down and like say, no, I'm not going to take this further. Like really ask for the Lord's help and hopefully you have a friend you can confide in and get some prayer. Like sometimes you can really get judged. Like say, if you go to your pastor, it depends on what kind of pastor you have. Hopefully you can talk to him and feel secure. But like I can't exactly tell you that the pastor at my church, I'd feel secure going him and telling him like I'm struggling with, I'd say like an unknown sin, but say like, yeah, like about yeah violence or like thinking about like old horror movies or something like that would be, I don't even know if he'd, hopefully he'd pray for you, but I don't even know. Like, so sometimes it feels like you're stuck on your own, but you just pray to the Lord and just get rid of that stuff out of your life. But it's always going to try and weasel its way back in. And that's one thing that I feel like is about, like the Bible says, take up your cross every day. And it's like, sometimes it does feel like it's suffering. It's like killing the old man, like the flesh. It's like when you're, yeah, like baptized, praise the Lord. It's like the old man and like the evil, like flesh tries to come back and you like recognize it. And it's like, it can be disturbing and you just pray about it and like the Lord will get you through it. And yeah, man, I've been dealing with for like 20 years now or something. And like, and I don't even, and just say, yeah, like the effects of having been involved and stuff like that, it comes back and it can be sneaky too. Even stuff like James Bond, like I got to the point where the Lord was merciful on me. Like I didn't get convicted about everything all at once, like 100%, because I was so involved, like with movies and media and video games. And that was like my life. And he was merciful to just start to pare it down and get rid of it. And like, it's to the point where you feel almost like a little bit of a prude, but it's just, and part of it has also to do with, you see, if you know a lot about the corrupt root of like Hollywood and even like the fact Hollywood itself, like the Holly, like to do with like Harry Potter's wand, like it, like a magician's wand often is Holly. So even the very basis of Hollywood, I feel like, is even satanic in my opinion. So it gets creepy. Yeah. And I've had a lot of my illusions shattered. Like I didn't grow up knowing like Elvis, like as a pill popper and he liked younger girls and like all this stuff. And it's weird. It's like, as you get older, it's like, you don't have all these people who you looked up to, like your idols, just kind of like fall one by one. And it's like, at this point, I don't really have any left. And it's almost like, praise the Lord. It's sad that fallen man, you know, it's like so corrupt basically, but it's like, it's hard to find many people to look up to and like trust. And I always say, praise the Lord, I can trust the Lord. And I'm going to do like end life care with my dad and taking care of my mom who has Alzheimer's. And it's like, that can be kind of crushing in itself. You feel like weird about the world, or like I have to guard myself too, that I don't let myself go too far down the path of like I can only do so much, and I pray and help. But if I get it stuck on like YouTube watching like sad animal rescue videos or something over and over, I can like get myself in depression, or like the world can kind of weigh you down. And it's like, just pray. And it's like, I know the Lord honors people who care, and he'll give you money to give other people. And it's like, that's one thing that I believe. And like, the Lord is always wants to bless someone who blesses others. And that's good advice I can give too. It's not to be, stingy with money in the way where it's really hard for you to get money and you become a bit of a Scrooge. I've been there, and like in the Lord works on it by like putting people in my life sometimes that need money. And like, that used to be a thing for me, and the Lord's helped me and to get right with the way I think about money and like helping people. And miraculously the Lord's always been there too. Like if I was in trouble or needed money or stranded, and yeah, the Lord's never let me down. And had two parents who were believers and were good witness, praise the Lord. And my brother is a Christian, but just kind of like worldly, kind of watch sports, Netflix, go to work type guy. Doesn't think too much about, he'll read the Bible. But yeah, getting too deep into it, he's kind of unsure. So I pray for him a lot. And I know fasting too. I like when you really feel like you can't get the breakthrough, to go and fast is a good thing. And it's funny, sometimes I'm not that much in love with sweets or whatever, like I used to be a lot. But if I'm fasting, it's funny, all of a sudden I'll have like all urges to eat all this food. And like, so that's how I know also that that's part of like spiritual warring, and like, just because that wouldn't happen for no reason. So I'm trying to get more into fasting and like kind of like, yeah, it's almost like you're kind of like punishing your flesh a little bit because it's getting out of control, is like how I feel. And it's like sometimes I'm sure, like, I try not to think about it and I'm not worried about it, but I'm sure I have had satanic people and witch type people like cursing me and like praying bad things to happen to me and stuff. And it's like sometimes I felt like that because I had certain like spiritual, yeah, like weird, like attacks basically. Yeah. And like, and sometimes, yeah, it's to do with like you feel like a feeling of fear, essay out of nowhere, like almost like you feel vulnerable or almost like you're somebody's think. It's like there's some kind of negative thoughts. And I've thought, and you know, I don't worry about that. The Lord's got me covered. Like sometimes I had an encounter with like a bunch of people who'd lean that way. And I was like the only one. So I'm sure they had like a group prayer about me or something. I sure don't worry about that, but it's like, it's true that those satanic people, I believe, are wary of praying against Christians, but it does happen. I'm not sure how effective it is, but like I do know that they'd like to believe it is. And like, yeah, I definitely don't let it affect me, but it's, I believe that, yeah, it is part of spiritual warfare too. And like brother was saying, yeah, it's like trying to kind of interfere with people's marriages. And I've known that kind of stuff to go on too. And that's like part of witchcraft and like binding spells and like crazy stuff like that. Like I knew some girls who were into that kind of like magic. Anyway, I won't get too graphic, but yeah, kind of the shadier side of it, like the magick side of like weird Aleister Crowley-ish type, like we talked about before. And like yeah, like casting spells on like men who they, yeah, their intent was to, I'm sure they wanted the man to take down the marriage. And like, so they, I'm not sure what necessarily they think they're getting out of it. If it's like power in some way, or they're just doing what they want and kind of like hurting people, or maybe they're just driven by the devil. Sometimes I try not to think about this stuff too much. Like I used to watch a lot of true crime, so I pretty much have seen like every crazy Pans Ram, all these crazy Ramirez. So I've seen like all their stories, and that kind of like damaged my mind too. Like if I could go back, I wouldn't be a kid who was so interested in true crime, because it kind of damaged me a little bit in my mind. But at the same time, I learned to be kind of wary, and it, I guess I learned like the world could be kind of a scary place, and to really treat people well, because there are people out there who don't have good intentions, and like to really truly have good intentions for people and be a Christian is like a gift from the Lord. And the world needs more people like that. Amen.
Amen. Yeah, well, this is quite an interesting ride that we've been going through. And yeah, I mean, you know. So before I end this, before we end this episode, Stefan, what would be your message to lukewarm Christians out there, or Christians in general, who are under the influence of these kind of satanic, modern-day satanic ideologies? What would be your message to them?
You know, I would recommend to try to get out of that. And for lukewarm Christians, I would recommend to, you know, decide whether you want to be a Christian, like fully Christian, or whether you want to be lukewarm. Because even the Lord says here in Revelation 3, and I'm just going to bring the verse up. So it says, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou were cold or hot. So it says that he wants us to be either, you know, Christians, true Christians, or he would rather us not be. And so my message would be to try and, you know, follow Jesus as best as you can, and maybe try and look in the area around you, or maybe try getting some fellowship online, you know, and trying to get with some elders so that they can teach you matters of doctrine. You know, so that'd be my message to any Lutheran Christians watching.
Amen.
Yeah, well, it's been pretty necessary for me to stay in contact and go to church. Like, it's hard for me to not go to church. Like, I'll start to really crave people fellowship with other Christians pretty quick. Like, I haven't gone a day through this whole pandemic thing without going to church, praise the Lord. And like, I pray it stays that way, because it's hard not to be in contact with other Christians, man. That's all I could say. And like, I don't care if you have to ride your bike or whatever you got to do, man, try and find a good church. And if you can't, yeah, amen. Like, find online or, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, due to some of my circumstances, I can't go to church, both because of my family and because there are no really true churches out here in my city that are mainly Orthodox. So I guess for those that have churches around them, you don't really know how lucky you are that it can, you know, get to go to church and get physically get with other believers. You know.
Yeah, I mean, this has been one wild ride going through Levain Satanism, Michael Aquino, Ted Gunderson cases, the history of Satanism, Western, Eastern perspective, gurus, yoga, how that has affected. You know, ultimately, in conclusion, how I would like to end this off is, we have a choice. Ultimately, whether we want to go ahead and do what we please, whether we want to go ahead and follow, as the Satanic Bible says, the joys of life, fulfilling the opportunity that life has given you, the beauty of existence, to go ahead, intoxicate yourself with alcohol, to ruin yourself with premarital sex, to do all these things. To do all these things is and just destroy yourself. But they don't want to tell you that it's destroying you. Because as the Satanic Bible says, you are an animal. There is nothing to look for. There's nothing to look back on. You live life, you die, poof, you're gone. No explanation, no nothing else. It's you're just gone. That period. Just gone. And the Bible gives a message of hope in this hopeless world filled with sin. And that hope is in Jesus Christ, that all who believe in him shall not suffer. They do not have to undergo the second death, but they will have eternity in peace, in harmony. We try to seek peace. We try to seek joy and love and everything we want in this world. We think money is going to get us that. We think marriage, marrying the right person is going to get us that. We think all these things. And we try to go the wrong way. But Jesus has clearly stated, this is the way. I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. Take this opportunity, fellow brothers and sisters, those who are watching this podcast, whether you are a lukewarm Christian, I say to you, you know, I don't condemn you. I was once a lukewarm Christian myself. I used to indulge in the sins of the world. I used to listen to worldly music. Praise the Lord. The Lord has changed my heart and my life. And now, again, all of us have been through that. And we know how difficult it is. But through the power of God, through the relationship with God, you can be able to overcome that. There is a hope. You don't have to go worrying, you don't have to go through the cycle of uncertainty. You have a definite, firm hope, and that hope is in Jesus. And again, I remind you, whether you're atheist, whether you're satanist, or whether you're a lukewarm Christian, you know, take this time today, if you're not saved, to believe Jesus. To believe in Jesus and accept Jesus as your Savior. But if you're a lukewarm Christian or Christian who's not thoroughly into the Word of God or anything, I pray you may take this time from now on to spend time in the presence of God. Because even if you're not like that, like, you know, doing everything as an order, but if you just take some time to pray and meditate on God's Word, God is going to fill you with blessings and God is going to abundantly give you wisdom. And you will truly be blessed. That is the true blessing when you have that relationship with God. So once again, I thank you all for watching this podcast episode. Again, Merry Christmas to you all of you. The time you're seeing this podcast will be on December 8th. So Merry Christmas to all of you. And we'll see you next year in 2021 for our next podcast series. God bless you all. See you then. Thank you, Brother Dave. Thank you, Stefan, for joining us this time. See you next year in 2021. Hopefully COVID-19 will expire by then. If not, then we'll see. Anyways, God bless. Bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.